It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is good, everyone? Welcome to KGW's 3-on-3 Blazers. My name is Orlando, joined as always by Jared Cowley, Nate Hansen, and the one and only Max Barr on the ones and twos. It is so good to be back. Thank you so much to everyone for rocking with us, for subscribing to the podcast, for letting everyone know about it. We appreciate it so much. It helps the podcast continue to grow. And last week, we had somewhat of a marathon of a podcast, one of our longer ones that turned out to be really, really good and insightful and just a lot of fun as the Blazers made a move right before the trade deadline. And so I had said I wanted to shout out a few of our listeners who had commented and said, hey, we made it through. We love the podcast and everything. And so I found a few of them that I just wanted to give a quick shout out to. So Beaver Scott, Henry Stern, Mike in Japan. There were quite a few others, but thank you so much for listening to us, for supporting the podcast. This is awesome. So thank you guys. Now let's talk about those Portland Trail Blazers for just a moment here and what a week it has been. I doubted them and they came through. They go 4-0 this week. Jared and Nate both calling it, saying, nah, they're going to beat everyone, including the Detroit Pistons, to close out the week, which they did. And they did it in dominant fashion, at least on the scoreboard, to win by 23 points. It's super rare. We don't get double digit point wins in Rip City very often. I think it's been a couple of weeks since we got one of those. So that was a great sight to see with the Blazers. And then they close out the month of March just playing really well. They took care of the teams they were supposed to, which is a great sign of a team doing what it's supposed to versus what we've seen earlier in the season where they're struggling to beat those bad teams. Somehow it takes a big shot from Damian Lillard or whatever. And we didn't get that against the Pistons. It was just a win, like a double-digit win. So that was super nice. But the Blazers going 11-4 in March. They're now 29-18, sixth place in the West. They have the same record as the Nuggets, who are in fifth place. So a lot to be excited about. I know the schedule will get much tougher for the Blazers. So, guys, this is a big podcast, not only for what the Portland Trail Blazers are doing right now, all the excitement around the team, and we're going to get into all of that, but a little bit of a teaser. This is a momentous occasion. It's a bittersweet podcast because we're going to say goodbye to Nate Hansen. Nate, I want to bring you in, man, and have you say a few words to set the tone for this podcast since it is your last one, man.
I think momentous may be a little strong. I don't think momentous and my name have been uttered in the same sentence ever before in my life, but I'll take the compliment while I can get it. So thank you very much, Orlando. No, it was an exciting week for the Blazers, you know, with getting Norman Powell, getting Yusuf Nurkic back. We finally, as we talked about last week, kind of got a look at what this team is going to look like moving forward, assuming they're able to stay healthy. Big fingers crossed on that one. But if they can stay healthy, we finally got our look. We've been waiting for it. This is now April and the season started right before Christmas. So we've been waiting about 3 months to see what this Blazers team this year could look like at full strength. And we got a little glimpse of it, granted against bad competition, but it looked good for the first week. And so, Blazers fans have a lot to be excited about right now. I think this is going to be an exciting pod, Orlando.
That's a beautiful segue there, Nate. We're going to talk a whole lot about you later in the podcast and go down memory lane a little bit, especially for, I think it'll be a lot of fun for those who are new to the podcast, but also those that have been with us for the past 4 years, because a lot has happened and it's been the four of us this entire time, which makes it really special. Jared, I want to bring you in now, man, to kind of set the table as well for what this podcast is going to be like.
Well, like you said, it's going to be bittersweet. Nate is awesome. And I've struggled with, you know, since I found out that he was leaving both KGW and the podcast, it's that balance of like, I want to be happy for my friend because this is a great step, but I'm super bummed for myself because he's awesome and I'm going to miss him. So I think it is going to be bittersweet. I look forward to talking and going down memory lane later in the podcast, like you talked about. As far as the Blazers go, you talked about it, Orlando, both of you did, that 23-point win against the Pistons. That was the first win by 20 points or more since the ninth game of the season. That was back on January 29th. The Blazers smoked the Kings by 26 points. And you know what happened the next game? Nurk got hurt.
Oh, what are you doing, Jared?
In their first nine games, the Blazers, at full strength, they won three games. Three of their nine games, they won by double digits, by 18, by 26, and by 25. Since then, in the next 38 games, they've had six wins by double digits. So that just shows how much they've missed these guys, Jusuf Nurkić and CJ McCollum. So I'm interested to see. I mean, it's like Nate said, not very good competition. The past three games, you know, they weren't playing good teams. But now we're going to get to see them. I mean, the rest of the season is really tough. We're going to get to see what this team is at full strength. And it's like I said last week, the season starts now. Now that Nurkić is back, now that Norman Powell's in the fold, now that CJ is back and really looking like he's at full strength, this is when the season really begins and we can start to judge this team. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the season for sure.
All right, so let's dive right in. Max, I'm going to get your thoughts a little bit later in the podcast as well. Three questions. Three answers, because there's three of us. Question number one, Jusuf Nurkić has played the past three games since missing 32 games to injury, and Norman Powell now has three games under his belt with the Blazers since he was traded to Portland last week. So let's talk about the Blazers' two new quote-unquote additions. What have been your impressions of Nurkić and Powell the past three games? Who wants to go first?
I'll start off on this. It's got to be encouraging for Blazers fans. Norman Powell, you know, he comes in, scores 22 points in that first game, is everything Jared promised them last week in that first game against Orlando. And Jusuf Nurkić, you know, he looks like a guy who hadn't played basketball in 2.5 months, but I thought in Toronto, he influenced that game for the Blazers, especially in the fourth quarter and the third quarter defensively in that game. Just in the three games with Nurk and Norman Powell, the Blazers remain first in offensive rating, 121 points per 100 possessions. The defensive rating, which is something we've talked about all year. What will the defense look like when Jusuf Nurkić is back? And Jared stayed on that train to say when Nurkić is back, this defense will get back to competent, to league average. I tried to stay on that train. I did for about 2 months, and then I jumped off with about 2 weeks left to go. Well, through three games, which is obviously a small sample size, a very small sample size, their defensive rating is 110.2, which would rank 15th in the NBA, right smack dab in the middle at league average. So
book that parade down Broadway, man.
There you go. There you go. Jared, at least three games into this, is flying high right now. But again, as we talked about the competition, small sample size, competition's not good. You play three of the five worst teams in the East record-wise. The Magic and the Pistons rank in the bottom 10 in offensive rating. The Raptors rank just 13th, so they're not elite offensively either. But it's encouraging to see this happen. The lineups with Nurk, Roko, Norman Powell, CJ, and Dame, because they've gone with that three-guard starting lineup. They've played 28 minutes together, those five. They have 132 offensive rating, a 96 defensive rating. That's a plus 36 net rating. When you slide Kanter into that lineup and replace him with Nurk, that's only played 11 minutes so far, but 113 offensive rating and 85 defensive rating plus 28 net rating. And so like I said, all the signs there for Blazers fans right now are to be encouraged with this starting five. It's hard to grade, but you've just got to be happy with what you've seen. You can only ask them to take care of business with what's in front of them. They've done that. They've performed well, Norman Powell individually, and they've performed well as a unit together. That's all you could have asked for over this first week of games for these guys. So it's encouraging if you're a Blazers fan.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Like Nate said, I mean, I think you have to say it off the top. The competition has not been very good. So, you know, we should keep that in mind, and we're going to get to see what this team can do against better competition very soon. Nurkic's stats, I mean, they don't look like anything special. We know he's playing limited minutes, like 5-minute stretches. So it's probably difficult for him to get in a rhythm. But in about 20 minutes per game, he's averaging 8.6 boards and about 3 assists, almost a steal and a block per game, shooting the ball well, except for from the free throw line where he's still struggling. But what we've seen is where Nurkic really impacts the game and what is with his overall defensive impact and his playmaking on offense. You see those assist numbers, almost 3 per game in just 20 minutes. But the impact he has with his passing is a definite boost to the Blazers. It's not like the Blazers offense needs a lot of help, but he does help make the Blazers offense less one-dimensional, not so dependent on ISO, not so dependent on pick and roll. The way he finds guys on cuts is, it just really helps. It adds another dimension to Portland's offense. And Nurkic's defense is great. Even kind of getting back into shape, getting back into, you know, the flow of the game, you just see what impact he can have out there on the court on defense. If you look at cleaning the glass right now, the Blazers are giving up 9.3 points fewer per 100 possessions when he's on the court. Over the past 3 games, his defensive rating is 100.8. And for the season, the Blazers' defensive rating is 116.6. So you see the huge difference there. Even if you just look at the past 3 games, when their defensive rating, like Nate said, is 110.2, you still see that 10-point difference when Nurkic is on the court. I mean, he is the kind of player who can single-handedly turn around a defense. And we're going to see what that looks like against better competition. But so far, it's been great. And speaking of defense, that's what's impressed me the most about Norman Powell, because I think we all knew he was going to be a good fit on offense. And that's proven to be true. He's shooting the ball really well. He seems to fit seamlessly into the Blazers offense. You can see how much he brings offensively other than just shooting. He can break a guy down off the dribble. He finishes well at the rim. He's really good in transition. But his defense, we talked about it last week, was a question mark, especially if the Blazers were going to line him up at small forward next to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, which they've done. And you know what? Through 3 games, it's been great. If you look at the minutes that those 3 have played together in the past 3 games, they played 44 minutes together. And the offense has been awesome, as we expected, 122 offensive rating, but the defense is 96.8 points per 100 possessions when those 3 are on the court. And the starting lineup, like Nate talked about, Dame, CJ, Norm, Rocco, and Nurk, it's incredible. Cleaning the Glass has their offensive rating, and this is in 56 possessions at 130.4 and 98.3 defensive rating, outscoring opponents by 32 points per 100 possessions, and you're looking at a dominant offense and a dominant defense. So they've played 3 bad teams. Now we get to see, you've got the Bucks, the Clippers, the Jazz coming up on the schedule. The April schedule is brutal. So we're going to see what these guys can do. But so far, it looks fantastic.
I love that you brought up Nurkic as a playmaker, his passing. There have been a couple of just beautiful give and go backdoor cuts that remind you how legit this dude is. Those passes, just splitting defenders, those are tough for guards to make. And it shows that other element that he brings to the table. And so, yeah, defensively, you now have a rim protector again. That's huge for the Trailblazers. So with Nurkic, I think it's going to be just a slow brew. You're going to continue to see him progress and get better. And like you said, these are against bad teams. But I think playing this stretch of bad teams comes at a great time for them. Allows them to acclimate, to get used to playing with each other, to have all of these additions and seeing them work together. This is the best time to do it because you're still able to beat these teams where it's going to be a lot tougher to win games against the Bucks, against the Clippers, those type of teams. So I think this past week has been big time from that standpoint. Yeah, maybe the opponents, not very interesting. in terms of just watching a game, you know, it's probably not going to be as good of a game as it would be against some of the better teams in the West, but that's been great to see. So I think Nurkic is going to continue to be a slow brew, especially with those minutes restrictions, getting about 20 minutes a game and those incremental, you know, times that Stotts has allotted for him. So yeah, I like where Nurkic is going. Like, this has been the wait and see. And now we got a little sample of it. We got a taste of what he brings to the table again. It's for those that have forgotten about how good Jusuf Nurkić is, like, this is it. to be that defensive presence that his team has missed so much, man. And then on the other hand, seeing Norman Powell out there, I've just been really impressed at how quick he's been able to fit into this team. I just automatically assume when you get a new guy on the team, no matter, you know, how good they are, it takes a lot of time to get to that point. And man, the dude is just balling out. Like, we knew he was a shooter. We knew he could get buckets. To see him also create, though, has been super entertaining. And also, he doesn't settle for jumpers. Like, the man attacks. And I like that about him. He adds a new element to this team in terms of being willing to push the pace, to get out and transition, to get to the rack, to draw a foul. I think that's going to be big for the Blazers, especially when he is paired up with CJ and Dame, who want to play at a slower pace, and Dame wants to be in the half court more often. So that brings some versatility to this team offensively. And also to see him in the starting lineup, you know, there could be issues that rock the boat. Whenever you bring a new guy in and you're putting a guy like Derek Jones Jr. to the bench, or Carmelo Anthony is moved around. Like, there's all these little things that come into play with this team, and so far so good. And Damian Lillard touched on that during his post-game press conference as well, is that that's been one of the team's strong suits throughout the years in terms of just how they've handled a lot of these adjustments and changes, and guys step up and do what they're asked to, and they're not pouting, they're not complaining about stuff on the bench. And so that's what they're going to need, because Derrick Jones Jr. played pretty well off the bench right after that adjustment was made. So you need that. You need that versatility and stuff. But so far, so good, man. That's been super fun to watch them play. Let's see how they do when the competition rises a little more in the coming weeks.
But that fit that everyone's willing to just accept their new rules speaks to Damian Lillard's leadership and that culture in that Blazers organization. I mean, this isn't the first year we've seen this. The year they went to the Western Conference, you know, they brought in Enes Kanter off the buyout market. They brought in Rodney Hood via trade, and both of those guys fit in. At least as my memory recalls, there wasn't a long period where they really struggled to fit in with this team. They kind of just fit in right away. And then we saw in the postseason the type of impact both of those guys had, with Kanter, you know, filling in for Nurkic and playing that starting role, and Rodney Hood hitting one of the biggest playoff shots in Blazers history against the Nuggets. So it just speaks again to the culture that they've built with the Trailblazers. And we've always heard that from players. They hear it from the outside, that the culture with the Blazers is one of the better ones in the NBA. And then once they're in it, they're like, oh, for the most part, everyone's been like, it's true. There's something here that's unique, that's special to this organization, that's not like this way throughout the NBA. And a lot of credit goes to Dame, Terry Stotts, and Neil Olshey for building that over the past 8-9 years. Norman Powell, his shooting well right away, I think, is huge for the Blazers, because we've seen other guys like Evan Fournier for the Celtics go completely the opposite way, where he went 0-for in his first game with the Boston Celtics. I mean, Powell's shooting 52% from the field and 58% from three in his three games with the Blazers. He just picked up right where he left off having his career season, and is having a great start with the Blazers. And it's not just the unit with Norman Powell and that starting unit that's playing well, but the second unit, this new second unit, and the way it's built with Kanter, Carmelo, Derrick Jones Jr., Damian Lillard, and Anthony Simons right now, since Nasir Little's been out the last couple of games. They've played 16 minutes together. Their offensive rating is 115, and their defensive rating is 97. So even that group has a plus 18 net rating over the last three games. And with all of this, it's, you know, the competition definitely played a role, but, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And there's a lot of encouraging signs, not just from Norman Nurk, but from the team elsewhere. It doesn't seem like they've had a misstep or disruption of flow at all. It seems like they've kind of just taken off from the get-go, which is great to see.
And I'm sorry, most of these games aren't givens with them. Or weren't until this past week.
I mean, they weren't even the only game that was really even a gimme this past week ended up being the Pistons, and the Blazers were down at halftime in that game. They just blew them away in the second half, but all the other games came down to the wire in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the clutch Blazers remained clutch. It didn't disrupt that either. They took care of business in close games at the end. So you're getting, if you're a Blazers fan, you're getting about everything you could want out of that first week. Go ahead, Jerry. You're about to say something.
I was just going to say, I think Derek Jones Jr. deserves a lot of credit too, because not only did he go to the bench, lose his starting role without a complaint, but he's also, you haven't seen any change in his game at all, you know, taking on a lesser role, you know, coming off the bench with the new lineup. He's still playing his game. He's still out there defending. I think his defense makes a huge impact on that second unit because he is the kind of defensive player who can kind of clean up other people's mistakes. And that's necessary when you're on the court with guys like Melo and Cantor. And so I think he deserves a lot of credit for just taking that demotion in stride and not seeing a change in his game. He's just out there playing and doing what Derek Jones Jr. can do.
All right, guys, let's talk about question number two. Robert Covington, he's had a hot month of March, averaging 12.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, almost two steals, almost two blocks, shooting better than 50 from three. This is going to be a Robert Covington appreciation segment. It's as simple as that. What impresses you most about what Roko is doing?
By one metric, Robert Covington has been the Blazers' most valuable player this season, even more than Damian Lillard. Ooh. I'm still going to give Dame that nod, but
I sure hope you give Dame that nod.
Well,
I
mean, you should.
He's got teammates saying he's the MVP of the league, so he better be the MVP of his own team.
He is, but I think that you can make an easy argument that Covington has been the second best player on the team this season so far. And we'll see, you know, now that Nurkic is back and Powell's on the team and CJ's back. But if you look at cleaning the glasses on-off stats, the Blazers are 14.5 points better per 100 possessions when Covington is on the court. The offense is 8.6 points better, and the defense is 5.9 points stingier. Okay, no other player has a better on-off rating on the team than Covington, except for Norm Powell with his three-game sample. Norm Powell's on-off rating right now is 21.3. So the Blazers are 21.3 points better when he's on the court than when he's not. But
I'm going to chalk that up to the opponents. I'm going to chalk that one up to the opponents.
But Roko for the season, plus 14.5. Here's how the rest of the Blazers who are playing right now. Hold on 1 second. Sorry. Did you guys hear Coco?
Yes, one of Jared's children is making a podcast appearance.
Yeah, she wants to be the fifth member.
This is a podcast from home situation.
Yes, it is. She's coming in. Look, she's taking her shot. She's coming in to replace me. That's what's happening.
I think she said something about Elsa and Anna. So a little bit off topic. She was talking Frozen. We're talking Blazers. But, you know, she's 3 years old, 4 years old. It's fine. So
you were talking about Robert Covington just to try to get you back on.
I'm a little off. Anyway,
you're shook right now.
On off stats, cleaning the glass, plus 14.5. The other players on the team who play minutes right now, Nurk is at plus 5.9, Lillard plus 5.8, Cantor plus 5.2, and CJ plus 5.1. Derek Jones Jr. is negative 4.9, Nasir Little negative 5.4, Melo negative 6.9. And bringing up the rear, Anfernee Simons, negative 10.4. So that just shows how important Roko is, because he's not only the Blazers' second best defensive player, but he's also a really important cog in the Blazers' offense. He plays most of his minutes with Dame. So I think that's one of the reasons his offensive on-off numbers are so good. But he's also really come around on offense after a slow start to the season. And I think he's kind of what we always hoped Al-Farouq Aminu or Maurice Harkless could be for the Blazers. For the past several years, you heard Roko was talked about as the ideal forward complement to Dame and CJ, and now you're seeing that. You're seeing why. His turnaround from three has been awesome. Through the first 25 games of the season, he was shooting 30% from three and 34% from the field. That's a really long slump to start the season and a really long slump to start your Blazers career. But in the past 22 games, he's shooting 48% from the field and 48% from three. But where he's really been awesome all season has been on defense. Did you guys see the conversation that Jason Quick started on Twitter a couple games ago about Rocco's defensive impact? Yeah. He was asking on Twitter, trying to think of the last Blazers player who is as disruptive on defense as Covington. And he threw out players like Gerald Wallace, Theo Ratliff, but he said, no, none of those guys match Rocco's impact. And then someone on Twitter suggested, what about Scottie Pippen? And Quick said, that's it. It's Pippen. He said, it's a really good comparison. Rocco, if you think about it with his deflections, the way he gets his hands on just about every ball, he really does remind me of Pippen. I think we talked about this on the podcast before, but I'll say it again. I don't think Rocco is the kind of defensive player who can single-handedly lift a defense. He's not Nurk. But I do think that because of how exceptional he is at team defense, I think if you have a good defense, he can make that good defense great. And so I'm interested to see now that you've got Covington and Nurkic together and this new starting lineup with Norm Powell looks good defensively too. I'm interested to see what this defense can do now that everyone's healthy. But Rocco, just awesome.
It's so interesting, the 22 games, 23 games you picked, Jared, because in my prep, that was the same timeline I picked as when it switched for Rocco. I mean, if you take a look at his game log, it's obvious. That's the game. And it was against the first game against the Dallas Mavericks, the one on ESPN that began the week-long Damian Lillard for MVP hype train. Rocco went 4-for-4 from three in that game. And since then, he's been awesome. That also happened to be Oregon's birthday on Valentine's Day. So maybe he just needed to be around you see, Max's mind is blown with that knowledge there. Maybe he just needed to be around for Oregon's birthday. And then he was all set and ready to go. But Jared brought up all the stats that he's had before and after that game. But beyond just those particular stats, he, in the first 22 games of the season, he had only 8 games where he made multiple three-pointers. And in only 12 of those 22 games did he have one block. In the 23 games since, including that Mavericks game I just talked about, he's had multiple three-point makes in 19 games, including 8 of the last 10, and he's had blocks in 18 of those games. So it's not just the offense, which is obviously the part we're all noticing, is he's finally making threes. This guy who we thought was a 3-and-D, the D was there earlier, but the threes weren't, and now the threes are coming, and they're coming in hot. They're coming in really hot right now. But his defense has picked up during that time too. He was solid defensively the first half of the season so far, but he's taken it to another level, I think, as he's just grown more comfortable with this team. And with everyone getting healthy right now, you know, he's going to get wide. If he's playing alongside Norman Powell, CJ McCollum, and Damian Lillard, he's going to get some wide open three-pointers the rest of the year. And with Yusuf Nurkic back, if he can be the defensive force that he's been in the past, and Rocco can kind of just be the help defender, the guy who just disrupts some plays, and he's kind of roaming around making plays here or there, like, that's kind of the perfect role for Robert Covington. You're not relying on him to do anything. When Yusuf Nurkic was out, you're relying on Robert Covington to be your best defensive player. With Yusuf Nurkic back, you're no longer relying on that. With CJ McCollum out and Yusuf Nurkic out, you're relying on Robert Covington to be a bigger part of your offense. Now, he doesn't have to be. He's going to get some open looks. He can take his shots when they're open, take them when they're available. And I think he just feels more comfortable with this team. And you think about to that trade, we had talked about, you know, the first month or two of the season, man, that trade, I don't know, 2 first round picks for Robert Covington. Now it's just like, that was a steal. That was an absolute steal. It's amazing how quickly he's turned that narrative around, but that's just how good he's been over the last month and a half.
Yeah, Nate, that's exactly where I was going to start. Was this is the guy that we were hyped about. This is the guy that we were talking up that we were like, oh, the Blazers sought after a player like him. This is the perfect fit. This is what the Blazers need. He's going to deliver. He's going to make this team so much better. Now we're getting it. It just took a while to get here. And yeah, as you guys had mentioned, the defense has been there and it's continued to get better. And the offense, though, has just blown me away lately. And seeing him shoot above 50%, both from 2 and 3, is just crazy. Like, now when he's taking those shots, you're thinking, oh, that's butter. That's automatic. That's going in. So this has been a lot of fun to see him play. Damian Lillard had mentioned a few different things about Covington that summed it up well. And Jared, piggybacking off of what Jason Quick had mentioned in that discussion on Twitter, he had asked Dame to kind of describe what Covington's game means for the team. And he said, you know, he's a guy that they can count on him to do a lot. And with his presence on the floor, he gives them something that they haven't had since Dame has been there. Dame said that we haven't had a player like him. And his disruptive style, Dame also compared to a guy like Scottie Pippen. And he also threw a guy in like Draymond Green, who does a lot of different things that elevates a team to another level. And that's what we're seeing out of Covington. Whether or not the stats actually show up, there are so many little things that he does on the court that just makes it difficult for offenses to get comfortable in what they're doing. And you'll also be rewarded with those tips, the deflections, things like that, that also create transition buckets or get the ball back to the Blazers and force turnovers and stuff like that. So he just does all these little things that are now coming together. And then the offense is like the icing on the cake when everyone really takes notice and you're like, oh man, like how good can this team be when you start seeing him cook like that? And those opportunities are going to be there. So the confidence is just going to rise even more with this team in general. And for a guy like Dame, when he's seeing those blitzes come at him 30 feet away from the bucket and knowing, oh, I can throw that skip pass to the corner. And I know that when I make that pass, we're going to make that other team pay for coming out and guarding us this way. So that's like the ultimate. Something that had, even going back to when they got smoked by the Pelicans in the playoffs a couple of years ago, the moment when you saw Dame's game change that evolved to another level where he's taking those logo Lillard shots on a regular basis. Like Dame had to adjust his game because of that style of play that was coming at him. And so one of the things that we all talked about going back to, you know, previous podcasts was guys have to come in and help Dame. You mentioned Al-Farouq Aminu, other players like him that needed to hit those open shots. And so now you're hoping that he is the guy, but just defensively, he's been the man. And Covington had mentioned watching tape when he got to Philly. And that was really the time when his game changed defensively. He'd said, I'd always been a good defensive player, but really focusing in on it and working individually with his coach. And he would pick a player every day to kind of work on those type of things that they do. And one of those players that was in there was Scottie Pippen. And so it's not a surprise now when you hear him say that you're like, oh yeah. So to have Covington model his game out of a Hall of Famer like Scottie Pippen, man, it's all coming together for him right now. And you just hope that it can continue to be that way when they need him to be that in the playoffs. And he had also mentioned to Quick that he plans on wearing that mask for the rest of the season. So, you know, that dude is always getting hit in the face. So the mask isn't going anywhere as well.
Question for you guys. I mean, we're seeing right now, this is why Covington is drafted so high at fantasy basketball leagues. Three-pointers, steals, blocks, very few turnovers. He's up to 39% from three for the season, which I believe would be his highest percentage ever. I mean, Blazers fans have to expect some kind of regression, right? Do you guys think this can continue for a long stretch?
I mean, not the way he's played over the last. I mean, Jared talked about the game. Jared and I mentioned the Dallas game on February 14th. Since then, he's shooting 48% from three. That's not going to continue. Now, can he be a 39% three-point shooter the rest of the way? I think he could. So will you see some regression from what he's done over the past month and a half? Probably, most likely. But are you going to see regression from where his season averages are right now? I don't know about that because he was so bad, you know, the first 20 games of the year. I think he can be right about where he is right now.
Yeah, and defensively, that's where it's at. Like, you're not going to see the regression defensively. Like he had even said during this press conference after the Pistons win was, I feel like I'm at the level that I was when I was all defensive team. And so playing with that type of confidence, that being that comfortable with the team is such a great sign, because the offense has no choice but to regress a little bit, because it's just insane the way he's shooting the ball. But if you're an average to maybe even slightly above average three-point shooter at the position that he plays, you're going to make teams pay. And so if he's at 39% for the season, oh, that's great for the Trailblazers. That is music to Rip City's ears.
Yeah, Rocco doesn't have to be shooting 50% from three to keep the defense honest.
He just
needs to be league average, and I think that he can certainly keep that up for the rest of the season. At the beginning of the season, when I picked the Blazers to finish second in the West, I don't think they'll get there, but you know, they're certainly challenging for home court. It was because of, you know, it was because Nurk was coming back healthy. It was because, you know, Dame, I figured he'd probably take another step, but it was really also because of Covington. Like, I looked at the addition of Covington as kind of like, was he like the addition of Pippen to that team that took them to another level? Was he like the addition of Buck Williams to the 90s team that took that team to another level? You know, these defensive minded forwards who really just kind of are glue pieces, you know, elite glue pieces that tie everything together. And I think we're seeing that from Covington right now. And what I'm also excited is not just Covington the rest of this season as he, you know, gets more used to playing with this team and gets even more comfortable, but Covington next season too. You know, in this window that we've talked about for the Blazers, I mean, Covington's a real important piece for that going forward, you know, beyond just this season.
They need him.
Yeah, they absolutely need him. And one thing that may be a blessing in disguise, in a sense, at least, you know, from what we've seen so far, is we talked a week ago how we, and I mean, I think it's obvious, the Blazers' target last week was Aaron Gordon. That was who they wanted. And if you had brought Aaron Gordon on here, you know, that would have changed Covington's role a little bit with the team. Granted, you would have had two really good defenders alongside Yusuf Nurkic, which is where a person like me thought Aaron Gordon could really elevate the Blazers, is to help turn him into to not just an average defensive team, but maybe even an above average defensive team when you have those three on the floor together. But you would have had Covington playing some mix of a 3-4 role, and it would have maybe hampered the success he's been having offensively. But you bring Norman Powell in instead, and it just, Covington knows his role. It's carved out for him right in front of him, and he hasn't had to change his game at all. He's just played as if he had the month prior. And so, you know, in terms of immediate blessing in disguises, that Norm Powell move didn't disrupt anything Covington had going on, because it didn't disrupt his role on the team. Or maybe bringing a move in, like me bringing a person in like Aaron Gordon, would have had some growing pains along with it. I think their ceiling in the end would have been higher, but there would have been growing pains, I think, on the way to getting there.
All right, boys, it's prediction time. I'm going to read this, and then Nate, we got to get the standings here. Yep. So the Blazers, they play three games between now and the next time we meet. Two at home Friday against the Bucks, who are 30-17, and then Saturday against the Thunder, who are 20-27, and then a road game Tuesday against the Clippers, who are 32-17. Which games do the Blazers win? Which games do the Blazers lose?
Well, as we talked about off the top, Jared and I had a perfect week, 4-0, picking games. Orlando, you couldn't trust the Blazers. You said they always lose one of these in a stretch like this. And you picked the Pistons. And that was, of all the games, the one not to pick, actually, at least in terms of the actual end result. So you went 3-1. I do want to point out, I have not yet incorrectly picked a game since the All-Star break. So I'm doing a little bit better here, but still lagging behind in the season standings. Orlando, 31-12 still, leading the way. That is some fire right there. Jared, though, is right on your tail now at 30-13, and I'm still a ways back at 27-16. But, you know, looking more like I know what I'm talking about than I did prior to the All-Star break, which is always the goal with these picks. So let's get into it this week. And I'm going to say the Blazers go 2-1. I say they lose to the Bucks. They beat the Thunder. obviously going with the lose to the good team, beat the bad team mantra that Orlando loves, but I'm throwing in a little curveball here with the Clippers. And granted, this, I think it's a huge game for the Blazers and in the Western Conference standings in and of itself. The Clippers right now are the 3 seed and the Blazers are the 6. So it would be technically a preview of a first round matchup, but they're only 2 games back of the Clippers for the 3 seed. And you can cut that in half just by beating them. And I'm going to give the Blazers the nod in that game. The biggest caveat, in my opinion, is can they keep it close? When they played the Clippers earlier this year, the Clippers blew them out. And the Clippers do that to teams. But when the game is close, as we've talked about the Blazers' clutch stats, the Blazers win those games, and the Clippers do not win those games. So I'm going to say the Blazers keep it close, and just the way they've played in those close games throughout the year, they have the best closer in the league. The Clippers struggle in clutch games. The Blazers go 2-1 and pick up a huge win against the Clippers.
I love those picks. I actually I have the exact same picks. The Bucks, they've lost 3 of 4. Before that, they had won 13 of 14. But I don't know. With Nurkic's minutes still restricted, and I don't know when that restriction will be lifted, I think that would have given the Blazers a better shot if he could play, you know, full complement of minutes. But I really want to pick the Blazers to keep this going and beat the Bucks, but I'm not going to.
It's also a Jrue Holiday team who gives Damian Lillard problems.
That's true. But how much trouble has Jrue Holiday given Dame since the playoff series?
The Pelicans seem to beat the Pelicans, I think, swept the Blazers last year when Jrue Holiday was on that team. So I have to believe there's some correlation there.
I feel like Dame has solved the Jrue Holiday puzzle a little bit, but I'd have to go back and do the research on that. I do think the Blazers beat the Thunder on Saturday. You know, Oklahoma City, they play really hard. They're a fun young team. They have some talent, but Portland's still a better team. So give the Blazers that win. The Clippers game is interesting. I am picking the Blazers to win. I wonder if Paul George will be back in time for this game. He's missed the past 2 games with a lingering foot injury. He's not playing tonight against Denver. I would love to see how this new starting lineup matches up against a team like the Clippers, where you've got 2 big forwards like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, who start at shooting guard and small forward in a big lineup. Either way, it's going to be a great matchup. I like the way Nate broke it down, is that if it is a clutch situation and it's a close game down the stretch, I'm going to pick the Blazers. I'm going to pick Dame and the Blazers. So I've got it going the same way as Nate.
Yeah, that was the one thing that has me going the other or the same way as you guys, is that I don't know how healthy the Clippers are going to be. I don't know if this is going to be the Clippers that we think of. And so with that type of doubt, I'm going to roll the same way as you guys, and I'm going to pick the same games. But I think if the Clippers were healthy, I would have picked, like, if I knew that we're going to see the Clippers at full strength, I would have picked the Clippers here, but I'm not. So I think they lose to the Bucks, and then they win back-to-back games.
I am in shock.
Yeah,
we all went 2-1. I am in shock.
I'm in shock too that we all picked it exactly the same.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised. None of us. I mean, the Blazers were obviously shorthanded, but the Bucks absolutely destroyed them earlier this season. That was the fire stats peak of the season.
That's after
that Milwaukee game. But that Clippers game is huge. Like, we're going to see these, you know, the last month and a half of the season, they start playing a lot of these Western Conference teams. It doesn't even really matter what position number you end up in, other than maybe home court advantage. It'll more matter of what the matchups end up being in that first round. And for me, if I was a Blazers fan, the Clippers I would view more favorably than I think most other matchups for the Blazers. Now, I could be completely wrong about that, but this will be an opportunity to see how they stack up against a team like the Clippers, even if the Clippers aren't 100% healthy.
Yeah, just matching up with those two forwards is such a tough thing. It's not quite the matchup problems the Lakers give you if they're healthy, but man, that's tough when you got Kawhi and Paul George there.
One thing that I discovered when I was delving into the clutch stats, because I wanted to make sure my eyes weren't deceiving me and the Clippers are bad in those moments, and they are. They're 20th in the league in winning percentage. The Blazers are 3rd in the league in winning percentage. The Blazers' defense Obviously, offensively, yeah, they're good. Second in the NBA. The Blazers' defense in those clutch moments, eighth in the NBA in defensive rating.
It's the most frustrating part. It's the most frustrating part, that right there.
Yes. The Clippers' defense in clutch moments, 28th in the NBA. So, like I said, if they can keep it close, I have a lot of confidence that Damian Lillard could close them out.
I mean, I think the thing with that is, like, it's like, yeah, why can't they do that for the whole game? Like, why are they such a bad defense when they show that in when it counts, they can play defense. But I think it just goes back to the Blazers have two very different units. Their starting lineup, when healthy, has all the makings of a good defensive team and has the numbers of a good defensive team. I mean, if you look at the defensive rating for the starters, it would rank in the top 10 of the NBA in defensive rating. But then they've struggled to find lineups that can defend when you're throwing guys like Cantor and Melo and other, you know, poor defenders out there. So I think it's because in those clutch minutes, most of the time they are playing, you know, good defensive units that prove, you know, throughout the game that they can play defense. It's not just in those last few minutes.
If they could just spread the wealth a little bit, man, we wouldn't have to rely on that clutch gene every game. Like, they shouldn't be playing in so many of these clutch games in the first place. If they could just spread the wealth a little bit more. And it was kind of funny because Casey Holdall had asked Coach Stotts about Damian Lillard, because if you noticed in the Pistons game, he actually got some rest in the first quarter. And Stotts was like, nah, we're not going to do that again.
That lineup, I forgot to go look at the lineup at those minutes they played, but that was not an effective lineup pulling Dame at the end of the first quarter. That's one of the reasons they trailed at halftime, was because they were so bad in that. And I think he brought him in back in before the end of the first quarter. It was so bad. Like, he took him out with like 4 minutes left and brought him back in like a minute.
It was something that like Stotts wanted to try out. You knew, like, it's been in the back of his mind. He's like, oh, let's get it in against the Pistons. Like, let's just try it. Yeah. And when it happened, he was like, oh yeah, this is why I don't want to try this. And it's rare that you get him to be that absolute about something where he's just like, nah, we're not doing that again.
Good idea, coach. Good idea on that one. Good call.
Well, guys, we had mentioned matchup problems, and there's no bigger matchup problem on this podcast than the one and only Max Barr. If you've seen him on the court, you know what I'm talking about. The dude is a beast, and he's also the man of this pod. So, Max Barr, you are up, man.
Man, remember when we could play basketball, Orlando?
Simpler times, dude.
You remember those days? Wow. Yikes. I missed that.
I hear Max has a jumper.
Oh, it's
I've heard he can hit the three.
It's wet.
We had some fun in the Rip City 3-on-3 tournament for a few years. We had some good runs.
Good times, man.
Guys, it is great to be back with another week of Rip It. On our last episode, it was another week of heartbreak for Jared.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jared.
He started 3-for-3, ended up 3-for-5, and Orlando nailed the wild card question in the clutch to tie him up for the week. Jared's still looking for his first Rip It win.
I think rubbing it in here is just like a nice going away present for Nate.
Well, no, the best going away present will be that you don't win this.
Oh, gosh.
That's what we're going to miss about Nate, ladies and gentlemen, right there.
If Jared wins this week, like, it's going to ruin the whole last podcast of mine. Like, why did we even have the previous 45 minutes or whatever?
See, and I was just going to say, like, this may be the one time I'll ever root for Nate to win Rip It.
That's already out the door. It only took about 30 seconds in the Rip It.
Wow. Okay. Let's find out what happened with your picks last week. Going back to Blazers in Miami against the Heat, the question was, who will score the most points? Derek Jones Jr., Nasir Little, or Trevor Ariza? And this was a sweep. You all said Nasir Little. We all thought he was going to get extended minutes with Hood gone. He didn't. He only got about 20 minutes, and he only scored 5 points. for third place in this question. Derek Jones Jr., 6 points. Trevor Ariza, 9 points.
The Zion stopper, as Orlando deemed him during his brief stint in Portland.
That's right.
I mean, he did give the Blazers the win, so with that foul on Dame at the last second.
Oh, yeah. It's coming back.
A good point.
Honestly, Max, when you said Nasir Little only scored 5 points, I thought we still had a chance because the competition he was up against was not stiff.
Yeah, this was a grinder, but nobody got it right. Blazers at Magic, over under 13 points for Yusuf Nurkic in his return to the lineup. Jared and Orlando went under. Nate, you took the over. And he scored eight points, in 19 minutes.
Are we sure he didn't score 18?
We are sure. It was under. So Jared and Orlando are on the board. Then they went to Tampa to play the Raptors. The question was, who will make the most three-pointers in this game between Robert Covington, new Raptor Gary Trent Jr., and new Blazer Norman Powell? And you all pick different players. Jared went with Norm. Orlando stuck with his guy, Gary Trent. And Nate, you said, I have a rule about Covington, which is I pick Robert Covington.
Good rule. I think it worked out this go-around.
It worked out. Covington 3 for 8 from 3 for the win. Trent Jr. just 1 for 5. Powell 1 for 2.
Mm. Ooh, that's a good rule. It's worked well over the last month and a half.
It's still working.
We talked about in question 2.
It's still working.
Powell needs to get up more than 2 3-pointers per game.
Yeah, that's facts.
Yeah, that was surprising to me looking at that. In the game against the Pistons, the question was, who will score more points, CJ McCollum or Jeremy Grant? Orlando, you picked the Pistons to win this game, so you chose Jeremy Grant for this question.
First half was looking good, man. First half.
Well, Jared and Nate picked CJ. Well, Orlando, it was looking good for the whole game because Grant scored 30 points. CJ McCollum 24.
Woo!
Orlando gets that one.
Oh man, Orlando pulling ahead here, man.
Oh.
And that brings us to the wild card question of the week. And the question was, which team will the Blazers score the most points against? Heat, Magic, Raptors, or Pistons? Jared picked the Pistons, while Orlando and Nate picked the Magic. And this was really close, but nobody got it right because the Blazers scored 125 points against the Heat.
Oh, the Heat.
Oh,
they scored 124 against the Pistons, 122 against the Raptors, 112 against the Magic. And that
Rip
means
it, you are a cruel game
with a score of 2 out of 5. We have a winner, and his name is Orlando Sanchez. Congrats to Orlando.
Woo! All right. Yeah, Orlando. Way to go.
It's a pretty rare occurrence when Nate is cheering for me, man. That's not
way to go, Orlando.
Oh, I hate that I did this.
Oh, man.
I hate that I won this week.
Wait, dude, it was all that Jeremy Grant. The Pistons may have hurt you in the pick, but Jeremy Grant, man, did you a solid putting up that 30 spot.
Coming through, man.
I've got Jeremy Grant on my fantasy team, and I was all happy that he gave me a bunch of points and blocks last night, and the Blazers got the win, but now I'm not happy about it anymore. Man, I cannot. I just can't get off the schneid here. I don't know what's going on.
That's brutal, Jared.
That's 5 Rippet wins so far this year for Orlando. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, man.
Very good.
I can't even tie you now with this last upcoming game here. That was my hope was, especially my hope was actually I win this week, tie you this week, and then win in this last game and listen and find out I won on the podcast and then text you like a day later to be like, gotcha, but a different version of gotcha. And that's not going to happen. That's a solid win over there, my friend.
That feels good, man. It really does. I'm glad I could send you with that parting gift.
Yeah, well, the best parting gift you sent me. Well, I mean, we technically have one more game left. We have one more game left where Jared could get the win that I'm involved in.
That's true.
But that's a pretty good parting gift, was preventing Jared from getting the W.
I believe you had a win last time you weren't on the pod.
That is correct. I believe
that's right. Yep, that is correct.
That's not fun when you win and you're not here. Not fun.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a good thing. You don't have to hear me brag about it.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try that.
Jared, there's still time. I'll
be on the podcast for a week and see if I can get a win.
Jared calls in sick.
Next sit out next
day.
Week.
Yeah.
Back my a few weeks to, off. To Max.
All right, guys. Let's get to it. Blazers versus Bucks. The question is, which duo will score more total points? Will it be Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton? Or Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum? Which duo?
We have a rule for this, Max. When you attach someone to Damian Lillard, you do not pick Damian Lillard and the person he's attached to. So we're going to go with Giannis. And I don't even know who else you had him with. We're going to go with Giannis.
Middleton.
It was Chris Middleton.
Yes, and, we'll go with that.
Yes, I guess the rule is back in effect.
Yes.
Giannis and Middleton versus Dame and CJ?
That's right.
Yeah, I'll go Dame and CJ. And I've got the only way I can beat these guys is by picking opposite them sometimes. Eventually, it's going to turn my way.
Maybe that's why you're losing all the time, Jared. Sometimes you should just pick what we're picking. It's okay.
You might be.
Be more selective when you break away.
I am going to ride the hot hand on this rule when you attach Dame to someone. I'm on that train as well, so I'll take the Bucks duo.
All right. I will point out in the first two times we did this, it was just one person against Dame and someone else. Now it's 2 versus 2. Does that come into play with this rule? Nate is shaking his head.
No, not at all. Orlando called this rule a hot hand. It's not a hot hand. It's batting 100. Like it's
hot.
It's fact, man, at this point. It's
we got a small sample size, unlike your Rocco picks. Your Rocco pick is
that's auto. A large sample.
Yep. Yeah,
it's getting bigger.
All right, we're going to the next game, Blazers versus Thunder, a dangerous Thunder team. How many players on the Thunder will score in double figures in this game?
Oh, man.
Now, let me give you their starting lineup in their last game, which was a win over the Raptors. Here's who they started. Kenrich Williams, Isaiah Roby, Moses Brown, Teo Maledon, and Svi Mykhailiuk.
Oh,
shout out to Moses Brown for he's been really good for that team. There you go. Go look at his stats. He's been really good.
He earned himself a new contract.
Yep.
He's coming for a revenge game against Portland. That was my one fear in picking the Blazers over the Thunder was the Moses Brown revenge game.
I mean, they're trying to lose and it's not working. They're winning.
There are a lot of teams who, I mean, Cleveland's like, how do you do this? You're trying to lose and then you just keep winning. How are you able to pull this off?
I'm going to put mine at 4.
Man, that's a lot lower than 7, which is what you said last time.
Well, I wasn't right last time. So
yeah. Could you imagine if 7 Thunder players went? Is Shea available in this game? SGA,
no.
Or is he out?
He's out. Okay. He's going to be out with, I think, plantar fasciitis for a couple weeks.
Okay.
I mean, you could see the double digits like kind of spread out because there's no one who really dominates the ball.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm going to go with 6.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take 5 since...
Split the difference. I love it. Well,
5 always seems to be the right answer on this too.
I think that's why I picked 7 last time, because it seems like every time we have this question, it's always one of us picks 4, one of us picks 5, and one of us picks 6. Yeah. So I tried to mix it up and I failed miserably.
All right, we're going to move to the Clippers game. Over or under 26 points for Kawhi Leonard?
Over.
Jared and Orlando are going over. Nate?
Let's make that a clean sweep. Over as well.
All right, that was easy. Next question, same game. Who will make the most 3-pointers? Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, or Norman Powell?
Oh, man, I thought Carmelo was going to be the last option there. You're really going to put Orlando to a test here.
I mean,
the rule has been stated. The rule shall be followed, and the rule will get me another point next week. Robert Covington.
Norm Powell didn't get me a point this week. But I want to establish a Norm Powell rule, so I'm going to give it a try.
All right.
Give me Norm.
Is the rule as simple as mine? If he's in the question, is there any stipulations to this rule, or is it just
Listen,
Norm Powell?
If he gets me a point and a win next week, then yes, the Norm Powell rule will be in effect.
And it's okay. Norman for life.
Yeah.
I want in on that, Jared. I want in on that. Give me Norm.
You're going to pick Norm right now, and it's going to end up a tie between you and me.
Oh, man, that would be Nate's dream come true, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, or just Rocco proves my rule true, and they both look like fools for not jumping on again.
All right, guys, that brings us to the wild card question of the week, and we're talking about Nurk. The question is, which team will Jusuf Nurkić score the most points against? Is it the Bucks, Thunder, or Clippers?
The Clippers, because they'll play the most minutes.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Thunder it is.
He's going to stop that Moses Brown revenge game, by golly.
All right, guys, we'll find out how you did next week. And I wanted to mention something. So Nate's going to be gone next week, and we're all very sad about that. But it's a chance for you, the listeners, to get involved in Rip It. Do you want to play Rip It? Tweet me your answers. Starting next week, not for this week's game, tweet us your answers. I'm at Max N Bar on Twitter. Jared and Orlando, how can people find you guys on Twitter?
I'm just at Jared Cowley.
Orlando KGW. Get at us,
tweet,
man. Get
tweet
at
us your answers. I'm going to pick one person to join the game. You'll square off against the professionals, Orlando and Jared.
You
we'll see who comes out on top.
Are we sure Jared's a professional here?
Yes. He does this for a living. He does this for a living.
That was the easiest softball setup right there.
Oh, I love it.
And you knocked it out of the park. What can I say? But yeah, we want you guys to get involved. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you win, you get a shout out and you get Rip It glory. So I'll remind everybody next week, but that's what we're going to do for the rest of the season. I think it's going to be fun. And I hope you guys get involved.
And take it from someone who has not experienced it in a very long time. Rip It glory is sweet. And I miss it.
It is very, very, it's got to have been at least a year since you've had Rip It glory.
Yes, it has.
Oh, man. It is very nice, people. And another perk is if you win and beat Jared, you can go into his mentions and tweet at him and let him know that he didn't win and you beat him. So another bonus.
And I'm sure Nate will retweet you.
Yeah. I will also join in and tweet at Jared for losing to you as well.
All right, guys, we'll find out how you did next week.
Looking forward to hearing from folks. I think that'll be a lot of fun to have some of our listeners participate and not only feel the joy of victory, but the agony of defeat as well, because it is painful, especially those ties. The way that Max does Rip It, it is brutal. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the faint of heart.
He's definitely sent me into some downward spirals over the last 4 years. I've had to go into therapy because of Max's game. Let's be truthful here. Had to do it.
Well, we've reached the fun part of the podcast. We finally arrived at this moment. It's a tough moment, you know. I was looking through, just scrolling through Podbean, and how many just podcasts we've done together, and it's crazy how time flies. I know it's super cliche, but I couldn't believe that we started doing this thing back in 2017. Yeah. And I listened to probably 20, 25 minutes of the first podcast we ever did.
Oh, and God.
It's such a trip. It's such a trip, man. because it was all four of us in there, you know, and we were, I think we were doing it via Facebook Live as well. And so we were getting comments, and it's just, it's wild. Like, to hear how this podcast has grown for all of us, like, just the sound is totally different, how we do things. And hearing Nate on there, man, it's like, it's crazy, like, how he's come into his own, how opinionated, how strong he is on here, man. It's really cool to reflect right now as we say goodbye and listening to that pod. I think one of the things that'll trip you guys out is, can you guess what the first topic was?
You guys Yusuf know? Nurkic.
No. So was this the very first episode?
Very first, or was one. It?
Oh, man.
Well, we had a plan, and then right before the podcast.
Was it Melo?
It was Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, my God. So
our very first topic was Carmelo Anthony, rumors circling around a potential deal involving the Knicks and the Blazers.
Which he was still on the Knicks.
And I bet we all said, no, that's a bad idea.
it's surprisingly, you know, we were open to it, you know, it was fun though. And it's just like, how crazy a lot of these topics have come full circle. And, you know, a lot of the things that we say today, we were saying then too. And so this ride has just been a lot of fun. And we've gone a lot of places and done a lot with it. We've now managed to do the podcast from the station, from our homes, on location. Like, it's been a fun ride, and it's crazy how time flies. So, Jared, I want to bring you in first, man, and just kind of talk about some of the memories that we've had with Nate, Max, and I on this podcast over the past few years.
Yeah, a ton of them. I was thinking about this week. I mean, I remember the Anthony Simons jersey. I don't think I'll ever forget that. Oh, he's got it right now. That's awesome.
He's showing it off right now.
I mean, honestly, like, the back and forth that Nate and I have on this podcast, him making fun of me, like, that's one of my favorite parts of the podcast. Like, just it's good natured, fun, back and forth banter. And I love that part of the podcast, and I'm going to miss that. You know, because that's just a thing that Nate and I have, and I've always, you know, appreciated that about our friendship. I was trying to think of my favorite memory of the podcast with Nate. And I think it goes back to, for longtime listeners of the podcast, you'll remember that, man, was it 3 Christmases ago? The Blazers were playing the Jazz on the Christmas Day game. And I was really excited for it. And I had all my Christmas dinner, and I'd had my Christmas pie, and I was, you know, really excited to sit down and watch the Blazers beat the Jazz, and the Blazers just got worked by the Jazz. And I was so depressed, and I'd already, like, put the pie away. I'm like, all right, I had my pie, I had my ice cream, I'm not going to have any more. But that Blazers game got me so down that I had to pull out the pie and have another slice. And I talked about that on the podcast, and we've mentioned it and brought it up many times since. But then I remember, man, it must have been the next season, and I don't even remember what prompted it, and maybe you will, Nate, but you brought pie in for all of us, cherry pie in for all of us at the end of the podcast, and I don't remember the reason why, but just, it's funny, like, thoughtful stuff like that. Like, one, it's a really funny thing to do. 2, cherry pie is delicious. And 3, like, you remembered that funny, you know, moment, like, and so it's just those things. Like, Nate is fun. He's hilarious. He's thoughtful. Like, we're going to miss all those things having him on the podcast. And, you know, I mean, I hope that it's, you know, we'll be able to have you on as a guest every now and then, or, you know, I look forward to hearing from you on Twitter after, you know, my Rip It losses and stuff, but, yeah, I'm going to miss you a ton on the podcast. You've been such a huge part of 3-on-3 Blazers for sure.
Max, I want to bring you in, man, and share some of your Nate moments, what you're going to miss about him.
Yeah, it's funny. When Jared reminded me that Nate brought those I think they were individual wraps.
They were like Hostess pies. Cherry pies or something.
Yeah, they were Hostess.
Nate ended up throwing the pies.
I was going to say, that's my biggest memory of that. And Jared didn't bring it up. I remember him
throwing it at me. I don't remember him throwing it at everyone else. Just me.
Yeah, it was just you. Jared, yeah. It was just you.
Yeah, that was great. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to miss Nate's energy, both positive and negative. That he brought to the podcast, the topics, and to rip it. I always love it when he, you know, rubs salt in the wounds and like, you know, leads the kind of like screaming when you get a question right. So just the energy, I think, is what I'm going to miss the most. But yeah, as far as favorite moments go, the pie throwing, the red Simons jersey, I love that. It's been a great run, and we hope you'll come join us again down the road when you can, when you're able to. But yeah, thanks for everything, Nate.
That pie podcast definitely is a classic, because it's funny that all of us thought of that pod when we were thinking about Nate, because that was the first one that came to mind for me as well. I was just like, man, what a good time we had doing that podcast. And that was probably, you know, one of those episodes where we're just laughing throughout the entire pod, and it's a lot of those moments that I'm gonna miss, you know, just us having fun, you know. And I think that's ultimately what we wanted this podcast to be when we started it, was we want to inform, we want to be smart about it, you know, but ultimately it was a chance for us to have a good time talking Blazers, and for our listeners to also enjoy and have that same fun and know that it's not all serious all the time. And, you know, the Blazers have been an escape for a lot of people, and we wanted to be there for them. And Nate, you've been a big reason why this podcast is still around, period. And to have the success that it's had at the station, and for, you know, management to still support us, and for our listeners, most importantly, to subscribe and check out the podcast. And we've seen the numbers and the participation continue to grow. And Nate, that's a lot of that has to do with what you bring to the table, because of that fun energy that Max brought up, man. And so definitely going to miss you, man, from your hot takes to your nonstop flip flops, to every time you're wrong. It's just a little bit sweeter every time you miss something and get it wrong. So I'm definitely going to miss that, because I have a feeling we're only going to hear from you when you called something or you predicted something right. But I think you're going to be a lot more quiet when it comes to you missing on stuff. So, and I just want to say I appreciate you, man, in all seriousness, on the amount of legwork that goes into it. You and Jared have just done such a killer job in the prep work, all the stuff that goes into this, with the topics, coming up with great points, doing the research, the numbers to support your guys' arguments. And that's what I think helps separate us from everything else we do at the station, Blazers coverage, everything. And it's been a lot of fun to be a part of that. We've had, you know, multiple late night podcasts where stuff has gone down, where a big move has happened, a big game. And, you know, we've gone on and done these podcasts at, you know, 12 a.m., 1 in the morning, and put these together. So there's just been a lot of little moments that I start thinking back to with this podcast, where we've just shared a lot of laughs. And so I'm so happy for you, man, to see you continue to elevate through the company. I knew it was only a matter of time, man. And so I was excited to know that we were able to have you as a part of the team. There's so much that you do behind the scenes in the sports world here at KGW that goes unnoticed, man, but I wouldn't be able to do what I do without you. So even though this is a Blazers podcast, there's so much that you do at KGW, man, that, you know, this promotion is so well deserved. Yep. So you've earned it, man. You truly have. And I'm just glad that I was able to be a part of your journey for the past few years here at KGW.
Well, you guys are all far too kind. In rebuttal to, yeah, I'm going to do this right now. In rebuttal to, you said when I have wrong takes, Orlando, is that what you said?
I love that your memory still fades on the things you get wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring up a memory from just yesterday, because we were trying to figure out topics for today. And one of Orlando's suggestions was Nate's worst takes. And I think I need to remind you, Orlando, the response here. The response was from a very smart, bright human being, was the problem with Orlando's suggestion is Nate has no bad takes. So that, you know, they don't.
Who said that?
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that was a text thread between us four. I wonder who said that.
Sources said that. But no, in all honesty, this podcast is the most fun thing I've done at KGW. And it was Jared's idea to get this up and going. And then you guys kind of brought me along at the beginning. And I'm sure listen to that first podcast, I sound terrible on it. But our conversations have gotten better on this podcast. I think we've gotten smarter with how we produce this podcast. And I like that you guys mentioned that it's fun, because that's something we do try to prioritize on the podcast, is we want it to give people the information that we think is good information, but we also don't want to make it sound like we don't want to bore you for, you know, when it started 20 to 30 minutes, now closer to an hour. We want you to enjoy it and kind of feel like, oh, these are friends who know about the Blazers, who are talking about the Blazers, because that's what we're actually doing on this podcast, is we are all friends. And we all like the Blazers. We all pay attention to the Blazers, and we talk about the Blazers. A lot of the conversations before the pandemic that we had on the podcast, we'd have in the newsroom ourselves. And so I'm glad that's been able to come through in the podcast. As in terms of the pie throwing, I don't remember what specifically brought the pie on. I just remember it was during last season. So it was like, I think in January of 2020, and so the Blazers were just terrible last year, pretty much up until the bubble. They were awful last year. So it was probably had something to do with them being bad and Jared kind of losing hope, finally like relinquishing hope that season could be turned around prior to the pandemic happening. I could be wrong about this, but my memory is, so we have that promo that airs on TV, that commercial.
Yeah.
And Arizona KGW promoting the podcast. And I believe it was that podcast that they were shooting that. And they shot like us doing the first 20, 30 minutes of the podcast, and then they left. So they didn't get to see the pie throwing part. But I believe if you see that commercial, it was during that podcast recording that happened for us. And in terms of my favorite memory, guys, I once invented a stat. I haven't brought it back because it was linked to one player who is no longer with the Blazers. But Al-Farouq Aminu, it came up in a rip it, and then I went back to the well, I think through the year that they went to the Western Conference Finals. But obviously Al-Farouq Aminu, not a sharpshooter from the outside. But I brought up a stat, when blood is in the water. Yes, Jared, you just threw
epic.
It in the chat. When Al-Farouq Aminu senses blood in the water, that three-point percentage skyrockets. And like my Robert Covington rip-it rule, for whatever reason, it seemed to just continue to play out throughout that year, despite how ridiculous the claim was. It seemed like he went through a brief stretch where, when the Blazers could use a big three to put a game away or something, Al-Farouq Aminu would hit those threes, and it was when he sensed blood in the water, baby. And so
blood
that
in the water was during the Blazers playoff run.
Yeah.
To the Western,
yeah, during
Conference
that Thunder
Finals
series. Yep. He hit at least one big three at the end of a road game in OKC. And I think, yeah, there were some blood in the water texts.
Yes.
I don't remember. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so that was the actual title of one
it
of
was,
the
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the title of one of the podcasts. That's right. Yeah. So that, out of all the things we've talked about over the last 3.5 years, that was the one that immediately sticks in my brain the most at first. And so I think that kind of gives people an idea of, hey, what exactly I brought to this podcast. You can't get that type of analysis anywhere else, folks. But also back to the, it was supposed to be a fun podcast, you know, and it's going to continue to be a fun podcast. I feel like this is a eulogy for the podcast, and it's certainly not. It will continue on. It will be great. You guys will be great. And like I said, I'll have a lot of fun listening to it, but yeah, this has been a really good ride with you guys. Like I said, in our business, any group of four people staying together in the same positions for the most part for 4 years doesn't happen a lot. And so the fact that we've had it last this long is great. And I can't wait to see what you guys do with it moving forward, because I think it's a great listen for Trailblazers fans.
Well said.
Yep.
I'm so glad you brought up that promo. I had forgotten about that. I wasn't involved in it, but Jared's perfectly mimicking Stanley from The Office's dribbling in like their second episode of that show ever. Such a deep cut for like a local news podcast promo. And I think it was probably lost on a lot of people, but it was so funny. I wish that was on YouTube somewhere.
I think more comments about my dribbling in that commercial than anything else about this podcast. And like every person is like, man, you shouldn't have dribbled on the podcast. Like, learn how to dribble first. And I'm like, I can dribble just fine. Like, I grew up playing basketball. I was doing Stanley.
Well, what's funny is my memory is right, Jared. I could be wrong. I think he only did that for like one take.
Right.
And that was the one they chose. Yeah. Like we had a bunch of takes of
all these other ones, like spinning the ball on my finger, like dribbling normal, but they chose the Stanley.
It's forever.
Which is fine. It's perfect.
Forever immortalized.
Oh, man.
I totally forgot that there was that much action that day. Yeah. Like, that was quite the day for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the part that cracks me up, Jared, is the fact that like we did a ton of takes.
Yeah.
Like multiple shots, different things. And like that was the one where we were just like, all right, let's try something different. Just see the final cut. Oh, man.
And that's how the commercial closes out. Me just like open hand, other hand behind my back, hunched over, pushing the ball down. Man.
That's so
that is one of the best moments of The Office, like full stop. And you know how I feel about The Office. It's Cherry Pie and The Office. Those help me feel better after Blazers losses.
And so Nate brought up a good point in that, you know, we're the podcast is still going strong. We're still going to do our thing. And that also means that Max Barr is going to be stepping up to the plate, man. He is basically said he wants to have a greater role on this pod. And so this is also a chance to pass the torch. And even though you've been here this entire time and have done the podcast, now we get to hear more stuff from Max. So Max, how excited are you, man, to have this new role?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to joining the conversation and the topics. And it's definitely going to be a really fun sprint to the finish line this season and into the playoffs. So we're going to have a lot to talk about, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Max has a deep knowledge of the NBA and the Blazers.
Yeah, I mean,
basketball a lot, and he is super sharp.
Yeah, I mean, Max knows a lot about the Blazers, but I think Max knows more than any of us about the NBA outside of Portland. Max is just a wealth of knowledge. So he's going to do great. You guys, you listeners out there are in really good hands here moving forward. It's going to continue to be a great listen week in and week out, especially as we talked about, the Blazers have a lot riding over the next 2 months here. So it's going to be a lot of fun to listen to your guys' thoughts.
Well, as we close out our final episode with Nate Hansen, the Blood in the Water 2.0, I want to leave you with the final words to close out this podcast.
Well, thank you. Thanks to all the listeners who have, if you've stuck with us from day one, or if this is the first time you've heard me and they're like, why are they making a big deal about this guy leaving right now? Wherever you land on that spectrum, thank you so much for checking out the podcast, giving us a part of your time every week to listen to what we have to say. It means a lot to us. And like I said, this podcast is going to continue to be great with Max, Orlando, Jared. So With that in mind, subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends about the podcast. Let them know there's a new voice on the podcast. It's going to bring a lot of knowledge here. Subscribe, rate, review, and they'll see you next week. Until then, go Blazers.